Audacity. Trinidad and Tobago and much of the rest of the region expect to benefit from oil and gas from Venezuela. More on Friday's Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards. Principal consultant at VSL Consultants and energy strategy consultant Gregory McGuire says while the easing of U.S. sanctions to allow Venezuelan oil and gas to be exported to Trinidad and Tobago is good news, the benefits would be seen within the next 11 months.
This is a welcome and timely boost to accessible proven reserves of natural gas. I think that's the most significant thing. And in saying so, I want to Trinidad and Tobago to understand that this, as significant as it is, it's not a short-term benefit. In other words, this is not going to happen this year or not even perhaps next year. But what we're talking about here is benefits that are coming at least two years down the road.
He notes that this country's reserves have been declining over the last decade or so. As such, he says, this agreement is a step in the right direction due to its potential to expand in other areas.
Two major areas we're talking about is down in the south, we have the Plataforma Deltana, in which lies three fields that straddle the borders of Trinidad and Tobago. Lauren Manatee, that we always hear about, Manikin, Coquina, and Cape Hawk Dorado. And these fields and that entire Plataforma Deltana area is estimated to have between 21 and 38 TCF of reserves. So once we could, and that's just down in the south.
He says in the north, where the Dragon Field is located, it is estimated to have an excess of 12 TCF of reserves and production potential of 1.2 to 1.5 BCF a day. Mr. McGuire says this development will benefit many.
This is not only about Trinidad and Tobago, but it's also about the Caribbean and, of course, LNGs to Jamaica and the Dominican Republic. So the entire region should benefit from this going forward.
He forecasts positive trickle-down effects for citizens.
With the expansion of gas or with the stabilization of gas output, from that is going to come increased government revenue. From that is going to come an ease in the fiscal constraints of the government and in government's ability to expand goods and services to the general population.
The Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, the ECCB, run by Governor Timothy Antwine, who says that the EC dollar remains strong as the currency is backed by foreign reserves of 91%. So what does that mean for St. Lucia? Let's ask MBC Prime News.
What exactly does that mean for St. Lucia's economy and other EC dollar currency wielders? Does a strong dollar mean higher investment potential? And what exactly are the benefits of having the EC dollar pegged to the US dollar? In a conversation with MBC Prime, Grant Thornton, partner Richard Peter King, explained that having a currency pegged to the world's leading currency and high foreign reserves project a level of the currency's stability to potential investors.
If they're satisfied that the peg is backed, in this case, the peg is to US dollars, and it's the reserves, and it's essentially funded by foreign reserves of up to 91% backing, then, you know, they would be confident, people from outside San Lucia would be confident in doing business, having transactions with companies in St. Lucia. So having, you know, that degree of stability in as long a time as it has been, and, you know, an indication of its solid backing, certainly gives people a little more confidence in terms of dealing with St. Lucia.
A Guyanese parliamentarian, MP Ford, has warned of return of execution-style killings. Guyana News Source with that report.
Opposition Member of Parliament Senior Counselor Roysdale Ford today warned that the government must not ignore signs of what he terms the resurgence of execution-style killings in Guyana. Since the start of the year, there have been at least three execution-style killings. Through his contribution to this year's budget debate, Mr. Ford said that the reappearance of street executioners and extrajudicial killings are symptomatic of socioeconomic decay and the return of the breakdown in law and order. He said these indicators do not augur well for the stability of the country.
2 days before the budget presentation, Guyanese were shocked at the news of the gunning down of Delon Josiah at his home, in his bedroom, at Perseverance on the east bank of Demerara. Days earlier, Anthony Charles, called Skiddy, of Leopold Street, was gunned down in broad daylight. This assembly cannot ignore these untoward happenings in our streets, either by rogue officers and or by civilians, threatening the safety and security of us all.
Turning to the rule of law, Mr. Ford noted that the non-appointment of a substantive chancellor and the chief justice remains a serious issue in the country. He said the judiciary demands immediate attention and the government must treat the needs of the judiciary as a priority. Ford said the recent pronouncements by the acting chancellor of the local judiciary calling for Judicial Service Commission to be established so that more judges could be appointed to address the backlog of cases speaks to the urgency of the situation.
In Jamaica, Newell High School teacher issues deadly threat to student. More from TVJ News.
OCN police investigate alleged death threat to students by a St. Elizabeth teacher. The police and Office of the Children's Advocate have been called in to investigate an incident at Newell High School in St. Elizabeth, where a teacher was captured on video verbally assaulting, chasing, and threatening a student with death. Education and Youth Minister Favourite Williams has condemned the conduct of a teacher, saying the behaviour lowers the professionalism of the teaching sector. Mrs. Williams added that it was reported to her that the teacher has acted in a similar threatening manner towards other students. She says counselling and psychotherapy sessions will be offered to the students and the teacher. The board chairman has called an emergency meeting for tomorrow to address the matter.
In St. Vincent, the president of the SVG Teachers Union, Oswald Robinson, says the government has a lot on its hands to deal with, including unemployment, poverty, and pension reform. He was speaking on the Teachers Talk program, looking at issues concerning school visits, pension reform, and other union-related matters. This report by SVG TV.
If you're not employing enough people, creating the environment for the private sector to attract younger people into employment, then the NIS would suffer.
Right. And it less would also contribution. Suffer from underemployment.
And then there's also the issue of underemployment.
Yeah.
Then there's the issue of poverty. If more people is in poverty and the government have to find a way to help them, they themselves are more or less dependent on the system.
Right.
It means that those who are working have to bear the burden of those who are not working.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of that under the NIS.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Non-contributing.
And then I'm hearing about the national debt.
Right.
Keep escalating. You understand? And we have to look at these issues. The government has to come clear and straight. It's not just going to the house and say, oh, it's a burden on us, but you're not telling us what was your connection with the NIS.
And how they got there.
You understand? You have to come clear and straight.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards.